drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
ESPN Chicago, Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, talking all things in the world of golf with you. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. And Mike, it feels like we're finally turning in the golf season. I felt like yesterday may have been the official start of summer, and you have had yourself quite the golfing week already.
I really have. I mean, I'm here to tell you, first and foremost, good morning. And secondly, what a weekend of weather we have coming to us, and we deserve it. Saw a lot of people getting out already to the golf courses. Parking lots are packed on the way down. It's going to be a great weekend, and I think summer officially starts on Monday.
Yeah.
85. Casey and I are heading out to the media day at TPC Deer Run.
Lovely.
And we're going to play
John
that
Deere.
Golf course. Yes, but... Yeah, this week's been an interesting week for me. My week on the golf course started over at South Shore on Tuesday morning, bright and early, and we're going to be having an event there next Saturday, which I'll be broadcasting from, and you'll be here. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the middle of the second fairway. I'm the only one out there. The only one. One seagull is got to be about 300 feet in the air, and I mean drills me in the back with... His morning deposit, I guess, and that was not a great way to start off a morning, but thank God I was able to, he hit me all in my jacket and everything else, so I was able to clean that up. So the next time I step on a golf course is Thursday, and we're heading to the first tee from the practice range, and we drive behind the ninth green at Briarwood Country Club, and we're playing with Dan Rohn, the legendary sportscaster, and Shelley Solo, our past president of the CDGA, and he had us out as his guest. It was very nice. All of a sudden, as I'm going to the tee, I get this pain in my chest, and I don't know what's happening. I got drilled by a golf ball, and I mean hard. This didn't bounce. Uh-huh. It airmailed right into my chest.
So on a line.
On a line, and it was hot. And so I go to the first tee in a little bit of pain, and I'm asking for shots, and of course they give me nothing. And we start to play. So par the first hole, par the second hole. Now we're on a par five. I hit a perfect tee shot. I have a go zone. We're going to get home in two. I got five iron. I pull it back, and just as I get to the top of the swing, a wasp stings me in the ear.
Oh, geez.
And I absolutely hit it straight off the hosel, and I almost took out Dan Rohn at the same time. So, yeah, it's been an interesting day and week, I should say, on this golf course. So I look at it this way. It can only get better from here.
That's true. Yeah. You got the trifecta, drilled by a ball, stung by a bee, and dropped on.
Yeah,
we'll say.
That's a good
by
way to
bird.
Put it. Yeah.
So, you've hit the trifecta in a day or two's work.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to a good round of golf the next time I go out, which will be tomorrow morning.
Hopefully none of that will happen. I was once playing with one of my friends, and... He got hit twice on the same hole.
No way.
He got hit, like, back of the leg. That one was on a line. So a group teed off ahead or behind us and should not have been hitting. And then we're on the green, and the same group one hops him and hits him in the back of the leg again.
Oh,
same
geez.
Hole.
That's amazing.
And it wasn't like we were playing slow either. Like, we were held up by – there was a group in front of us that was – and I'm sure there were plenty of other groups in front that were holding up the line there, but it wasn't like we were playing slow. It was just like, let's wait our turn here.
Well, that tends to happen. How about being hit by somebody in your own group? I've been hit four times. That was the fourth time I've ever been hit by a golf ball. The first time was in Hilton Head, and I'm with a good friend of mine, and they put a single with us. And the single was deliberate. It was slow. So there was a water hazard. You had to carry to get onto this par four, and he dunked it in the water. So then he looked to do a drop, hit that in the water. By that point, we drove the cart around the green, and we're walking up back behind the green, and we see he puts down another one and swings and hits it. And I turned to my buddy, and I said, "Did you see that?" He said, "No, did you?" I said, "No, we took one step, and it drills me in the stomach."
Oh.
And to this day, the guy that hit me still doesn't know he hit me. And that's the funniest part. He goes, and he kept saying to me, he goes, "Gilly, are you going to tell him?" I'm like, "No. I mean, I'm not going to make him feel bad."
Yeah.
But he goes, "But he drilled you."
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah. That's an awkward situation.
It is.
There. Like, especially when it's someone you don't know. It's, yeah.
But the guy that actually hit me on Thursday, get this, it was his first round as a new member.
Oh, boy.
Oh, did he feel awful? He was apologizing to the member in my group, thinking, "Am I going to get tossed out of the club?" He was asking, "Can I buy you a drink? Can I buy?" He came out on the golf course and checked on me to make sure I was still okay. Well,
that,
so
see, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that was nice. So in a weird way, I made a new friend. So
yeah.
He actually invited me to come back to play as his guest. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you're the biggest winner out of all of that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, all right, a little pain, I get a free round.
You know what's funny is my best friend in life, my current roommate right now, we've been friends. We're coming up on like 20 years of friendship. It all started because he drilled me in the chest with a baseball. We were on 7 or 8 year old baseball, and I was warming up to pitch. He was sitting on the bench, so he was the one that was warming up with me. And I look back at the game, and all of a sudden he's thrown the ball back after I threw a pitch, hits me square in the stomach. I lose my breath, and I'm like, I collapse down, and then we've been best friends ever since. So you may have just found your new best friend.
That's right. Sometimes some of your best friends are made in the wildest and weirdest ways
of
starting and pain and sometimes even anger and frustration, but they turn out to be great people.
All right, so you've been hit four times?
Four times.
What was the most painful one?
That first time.
The first one?
Oh, because
because now you're a seasoned vet of it?
Yeah, and it's weird. Every time I've been hit, I didn't know that I got hit right away. And it registers like after about a good second and a half, then you realize, I just got hit by a golf ball. But I started thinking, well, geez, if I was 1 inch or two this way or that way, it would have hit me in the eye, the ear, the temple, who knows? But and again, he did yell four, which is something everybody needs to do. Yeah. I know when you hit a bad shot, you don't want to do it, but you do need to yell if you have got people in your way. Because I will say, if you've ever hit anybody, you do feel bad, even though it isn't your fault technically, but technically it is according to insurance and law. But who can control their ball that good? Nobody. No. I mean, not even Scotty. Yeah. I mean, so I get it, but you do need to use proper etiquette and, you know, behavior of sort. Because again, it could kill somebody. It really could. But yeah, that first one, it hit me so hard that I didn't feel well for the rest of the day. Like it hit my stomach so hard, and it jumbled stuff in my stomach around. I was just not feeling too good for the rest of the day. So yeah, that was the worst one.
Yeah, it has not happened to me, knock on wood, but I can't imagine. You're right, though. Like, the whole four stuff, too. Like, even if there's even a shadow of a doubt in your mind that this might hit, yell it.
Yeah.
Just always out of caution.
Because even at the same way, it's kind of therapeutic. Because you're mad anyway, you hit a bad shot.
Yeah.
Then you can just scream four.
It's a four-letter word.
It's a four-letter word. It starts with F.
Yeah. Exactly. I would like to hear from some people, too. If you've got a story of being hit by a golf ball, or maybe you hit someone with a golf ball, 312-332-3776. Mike got struck this week.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another one that was really wild. And I was actually rangering at I was working at the Village Links at the time, and I watched a guy take it down the seventh hole, and there's Lambert Avenue runs down the left side. And he hits this high sweeping draw, but there was a wind helping the draw, and it took it out of bounds. But just as it did, a car came up the street, and it was one of those Pontiac Fieros, which used to be a hot, hot car. Mm-hmm. And he just pulled it out of Hagerty Chevrolet mm-hmm. and was driving it down the street, brand new, with the sticker in the window, and the ball went right through the windshield, and he pulled right in behind the seventh tee because there was a service road. Mm-hmm. Oh, was he angry.
Damn.
So angry. But, yeah, I mean, golf balls, they can go just about anywhere, yeah. and I'm sure we've got a few stories out there, so I'd love to hear from you.
I've always had the fear of hitting a window, like a house, off of a house, or hitting a car. Like, sometimes some of these courses, like, I always think of Chick Evans. And I forget, maybe 18, that runs right along Gulf Road.
Oh, yeah.
And the amount of times where I'm sitting on the tee box and I'm like, I can't slice this. No. If I slice this, it's anyone's guess. Because that's a busy street, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always been like a fear, like, oh, what if I hit a car? Because if you hit a car that's driving along the road that doesn't have immediate access to like the driveway of the car, they're not going to know who hit that ball.
Oh, absolutely not.
And like, it would be the guilt in me. And like, I'll admit, like, I have sliced one that's gone that way and was targeted for the street. And at that point, that ball's in the air. You see it going that way. You cross your fingers and hope you don't hear something really loud.
Well, that actually did happen to us in a scramble last year. A friend of mine, Charles, blew one way right, and we were just going, oh, that's heading for the houses, and all of a sudden we heard it. It took out a window, and sure enough, here came the lady, and she said, this has happened to us before, and we were like, well, how much is it? And she said, it's probably going to be around $100. So he had a $100 bill. He just gave it to her, and he gave him his name. He said, if it's any more than that, let me know. And she was so touched by his, and she had to call him saying, you know, it was an extra $30. So he sent the $30, but he's walking around with an absolute clean conscience to your point.
Right.
And, you know, and it was funny, my brother at Tana Farms a few years ago makes a hole in one on number 9.
Okay.
Turns around and on 10 hits his tee shot, doesn't change out the ball.
And
there's a big wind left to right, and he put it through the master bedroom window of a house, and he put on his ball, get through it, because that was his swing thought of the day. Yeah. So somebody walked up into their bedroom found a golf ball and says, get through it. But that's his hole-in-one ball.
Is that his only hole-in-one?
No, that's actually his, like, third or fourth little booger.
All right.
I don't feel sorry for him. Trust me.
If you've got a story, either you hit someone, you hit a window, you got hit on a golf course, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Jake's down in Florida. Morning, Jake.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
All right, so I got two quick ones. One, I'm not the best golfer in the world. I'm probably a 22 handicap. And my buddy knows this, but we had been drinking, and he was standing about 15 yards in front of me. And I told him, hey, man, you might want to watch out for this. He's like, no, you're good. And I sculled the crap out of it right into his thigh.
Thighs, and I feel like, though, not the worst place.
That's
like
a meaty place, not the shin.
another 3 feet higher, it could have been pretty bad. But the other one I'm pretty proud of, I'm playing a dog leg left with the wind screaming behind my back. And when I connect on one of my drives, I can really crush it. Mm-hmm. And I can't see the green, and I swing away. And everybody in the group's like, wow, you really crushed that. And we start driving ahead, and we can't find it later on. And somebody looks up at the green and goes, hey, did you hit a pink ball? I'm like, yeah. And it's sitting about a foot off the green. And I go up there to apologize to the people to say, like, hey, man, sorry, I had no idea I was going to hit it that far. It's a 340-yard hole.
Yeah.
And they start screaming at me as soon as I get up there.
Oh, geez.
Well, hopefully compliments on how far you hit it.
Nope.
thanks for the call, Jake. That would always – like, if you hit a ball, like you're going 30, 40 yards, which you usually do, like, that to me is – I'm more like – damn, dude, that's a hell of a shot. Even if it did come at the peril of a little bit of a scare.
And it's funny. a guy like that, and anybody that has those higher handicaps but are former athletes and strong, and they
like
have
baseball
the
or hockey players in particular.
They can hit it a mile. It doesn't necessarily go straight all the time, but there are those occasions when everything gels perfect and they unload. And I believe him. I bet he can hit it 320, 330, even though he may be a high handicapper. But it seems that it happens to those type than the guys that are single-digit handicaps because we pretty much know our yardage coming in, right?
Right.
And, so, you know, guys like that, they have their career shot. And usually it's because they're relaxed knowing there's probably no way I'm going to get there anyway, so I'm safe to hit. So they just go like they're just freewheeling it and having fun. And that's usually the best way to play. If you could always have that mental aspect, it'd be amazing, but we get in our way of our own minds, and that's what happens. So free and clear swinging when somebody's on the group and they tell you, you won't get there. Now you have all the confidence and freedom in the world, and lo and behold, look what happened. And that's where you basically want to go up there all proud, and then you get reamed out by the group. But usually in most cases, the people see how far out you were, and they're usually like, whoa, that was actually a pretty damn good shot from that far.
Chris Bleck has the best story. He was playing down in Mexico like a year or two ago, and right before he was going off, the ranger goes, "Do you know who that is in the group in front of you?" He's like, "No." Like, "Who is it?" It was Trent Williams, the left tackle for the 49ers, who's like the best left tackle in all football. He's like, "Oh, that's cool." So they're in the group in front of him. They're on the green. I think he said it was like a 300-something yard par four. So, like, if you can really bomb it, you can get it out there.
Oh, yeah.
And he got it out there and, like, drove the green while Trent Williams was on the green, almost hits him. And he goes up to look for his ball eventually, and he was like, I think he was going to apologize to. I don't remember exactly the details there, but he goes up there, and his ball's nowhere to be found. And he thinks that Trent Williams just pocketed his ball.
He probably did.
But, like, that's someone, like, probably not the person you want to hit.
Yeah, no, and you don't really want to go up and say, by any chance, is that a Titleist 4 in your pocket right there? By any weird chance. It's funny, on Thursday, we actually had to be careful because we didn't want to, because Tony Kukoc was playing right in front of us. So I'm like, they're like, "Yeah, I think you can hit." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not, the guy's the biggest guy in that group. He'd be the easiest guy to hit. I'm not going to hit, take out Tony Kukoc." But he's a good golfer, Tony.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Interesting. If you've got a story on either hitting a house, hitting a car, hitting a person, or maybe you got hit, or your house got hit, or your car got hit, we'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. We'll take your calls and more when we come back. I see Chris has an awesome story. Hang on. We'll get to you on the other side. This segment's been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan talking golf with you. And Mike was hit earlier this week by a couple of things.
Oh, yeah.
He got a little bit of a dropping from a seagull.
Mm-hmm.
He got stung by a bee. Yep. And he also took a golf ball to the chest while he was getting ready to tee off on the first hole. He did spin it into another country club round, though, moving forward as an IOU, which is kind of nice. But it did come at a cost, a little bit of stomach pain as a result. A
little bit, but we got over it, but finished, what, I shoot 41 on the front, but I had 35 on the back. So things settled down a little bit.
There you go. So we want to hear from you, your stories. Have you hit someone? Have you gotten hit on a golf course? And what was it like? Like, what was your story behind it? 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Chris on the south side. Morning, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at, right?
That's right.
Monarch Beach, Dana Point, playing with a couple guys. Got my first ever hole-in-one. Great moment. It was just joyous. And My dad's got one. My brother's got one. So I got to join that club in the family. But sure enough, you know, next hole, I get off the tee. Okay. But my second shot, the guys were a little bit ahead in the cart, caught one of my colleagues right in the knee. Oh. And so I completely was melted down, completely deflated. I was so exhausted after the hole in one. I probably should have just stopped and went into the clubhouse at that point. But it was embarrassing, but thank God I only hit him in the knee, and it wasn't, you know, upper body or head at that point. So,
no doubt. And it was that place out in California?
Yeah, Dana Point, Monarch Beach over at the Waldorf Astoria. Great little course,
it
a
is
couple
a
ocean site holes.
That is awesome. Nice. Nice place to have an ace.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. And, you know, interesting, grew up as a caddy, and I'm a meld of your previous calls. I'm a high handicapper. But went in and you know, told the guys in the pro shop and said, you know, can I get a flag or anything? They're like, well, you know, we get a lot of them around here, but we will put your name in for a raffle, and we'll see what you win. So I was surprised. But, you know, there's what is it? Under 2 or 3% of people golfing annually, I think, get a hole in one. So I guess it's select company, but not as select as you think. But it was still a great honor and a lot of fun. So. Well,
congratulations, Chris.
Well, Chris, one quick question for you here. Did you use the same ball that you had the hole in one with as the same ball that you hit the guy with?
Nope. I switched
out. You pocket that one?
Pocket that. And, Callaway was nice enough to send me a plaque. That was great. But the real takeaway, and again, I'm a high handicap golfer, but in my heart, anytime I get up to a par three, I'm like, hey, look, if I could do this, I could do it again. Why not? So I've got that confidence forever.
There you go. That's what you need on that tee box. Thanks, Chris. Great phone call there. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
But that just shows you, like,
that's golf.
That's the sport.
It is.
That's the sport. Like, you can hit someone on one hole, and you can find yourself with an ace on the next.
Yeah, it can humble you in a snap of a finger in just one shank.
Yep, exactly. Phil's in Northwest Burbs. Morning, Phil.
Hey, guys. I really enjoyed the show, so
hey,
well done.
Thank you.
Good topic. I think about 12 years ago, I was playing in an outing at Crane's Landing in Lincolnshire. And I'm a lefty, and I tend to slice the ball. And second hole, I sliced the heck out of it. And we all thought there was a pond over there. So, you know, we were talking earlier about it's a good thing to yell four. I always yell four. I'm used to it because I'm a bad golfer. But this time we didn't. We all said, oh, it's wet. And then we heard a blood-curdling scream.
Oh, boy.
And, so I'm thinking that had to be me. And they're all like, no, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. So we see the ranger coming up behind us, just stopping at every group, having a conversation, moving on. I was playing with orange golf balls. For some reason, I bought a thing of orange golf balls that day. Ranger comes up, and he goes, hey, is anyone playing lime green balls? We're like, nope, not us. Why? What's going on? He's like, oh, some guy got hit. We're like, is he okay? And he's like, no, he's kind of angry. He got hit in the head.
Oh,
but he's all right. Yeah, nailed him right in the head, apparently. So my plan was to find the guy after the round. He wasn't part of our group. I didn't know him. My plan was to find the guy after the round and be like, hey, if that was an orange ball, it was me. Feel free to punch me in the face. I got your round. I got your drinks, whatever.
Yeah.
Never saw the guy again. Couldn't find him. No idea who he was. Still don't know who he was. Still feel terrible. So if he's listening and you got hit in the head by an orange golf ball at Crane's Landing, that was me. My bad. But
this is like confession. This is golf confession.
Right.
It really is. Yeah, it's reconciliation. But last year I got nailed pretty good in the kidney, so maybe that was karma.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Eye for an eye.
That was a nice welt. Exactly. Head for a kidney.
But do you think it was you? Because the guy's claiming lime green ball and you're playing orange.
I think the ranger just heard bright color and got mixed up. You know, older guy, whatever. I think he just got a little bit mixed up, and somebody said it was a bright ball. And they said as soon as it happened, my buddy we dumped out all the orange balls, and they gave me a bunch of white ones. But, still comes up pretty often.
That's so great.
Every year, someone's like, oh, Phil nailed the guy in the head once. I'm like, yeah, I think I did, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Thanks for the phone call, Phil, and hopefully you don't hit anyone else. Those are some of the fun stories, man, and knock on wood, it doesn't happen to anyone who's playing today.
But it is a fun sport for all the different reasons, and when these have great outcomes, they're great stories. You just hate to hear anyone truly getting hurt by this, because it can happen, but they're more often than not, there's always a fun ending to it, or a friendship made, or like even a golf round offered as compensation, as they say.
312-332-3776. If you've got a story you want to share about a time you were hit or maybe hit someone on a course with a ball, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. When we come back, too, we'll get to your calls. And also, Mike, you gave me a swing tip a couple of weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been utilizing it at the range, and it is working wonders. I want to pay a compliment to you. And also, what is the protocol for coaching on the course? All that and more coming up next. This segment's been brought to you by Golf Elgin.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Don't forget, if you miss anything, you can find us on the podcasts on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that app, and you can find us CDGA Golf Show or wherever you get your podcasts. Mike got hit by a golf ball this week, and we want your stories if you've had a similar story. 312-332-3776. Taylor's in Hyde Park. What's going on, Taylor?
Hey, Taylor.
You got us, Taylor?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
We got you.
Yeah. So, look, good morning. Obviously, golf season is upon us.
You got it.
So, I have a story about golf etiquette. No matter where you play, whether it be a country club, whether it be a muni course, whether it be the crappiest course you ever played in your life, they're still considered golf etiquette. If you want to play through someone, you always need to ask the group, hey, may I play through? You can't just go around skipping holes. So my story is Jackson Park, which I'm sure folks are familiar with. Mm-hmm. On the turn, hole number 9 is a short par 4, and hole number 8 is a short par 3. So we're on the par 3. The guy skips the par 3 and begins to tee off. So I'm like, hey, he didn't ask if he can play through. It's a slow day. Now we're kind of waiting on him to play. So I just take out my driver and just hit it as if he's not even there. It takes one hop and hits him in the back.
Oh,
He falls down and he's like, you know, being and moaning about and complaining about what's going on for like 2 straight holes with us. And I said, hey, look, dude, we will let you play through. But because this is Jackson Park, you just want to just go ahead and skip around the holes. If this was a country club, we'd ask, hey, can I play through? And we said, no problem. So we end up having a little scuffle. And I just want to tell everyone there listening, no matter what course you go to, there is golf etiquette if you want to skip holes and skip around. That's my story.
Yeah. And it's a good lesson as well, Taylor. It's not an a la carte golf course.
And he brings up a good point. And, you know, you can run around when the golf course affords you that opportunity to jump around when there's, you know, big gaps.
Yeah.
So that's what you're looking for. But when there is a crowded golf course and there's players on every single hole, skipping groups and skipping holes makes absolutely no sense. And it creates chaos. It creates longer waiting times. It really screws up the entire flow. So it's just like traffic, you know, just keep your place in your lane and just be patient and be courteous. And that's it.
Yeah.
You'll have fun.
Russ in Palos Heights. Morning, Russ.
Hey, thanks for having me. I got conned with regard to hitting somebody with a golf ball. I was playing a par 5, and I usually hit my ball off the tree line on the right side, and I would draw the ball back in. Well, it didn't draw this time, and it went over into the tree line, and beyond the tree line was a pickup truck. So I thought that it probably was inhibited. The ball was inhibited by going into the trees. So as we drive up, a guy comes out of the woods there and he says, "Is this your ball?" And it wasn't my ball. He says, "Well, that ball went right through my windshield and hit my wife in the head." So I said, "Well, wait a minute." I said, "That's not my ball." I said, "Well, you better call the police and we'll go and settle us there. So we finished up. We went into the parking lot, and the police were there. I saw the woman was sitting in the chair in the passenger side of the pickup truck, and she was slouched down, so she kind of was in the level where she would probably be being hit by a golf ball. Well, the windshield looked like it had been hit by a ball peen hammer. Anyway, the police had a judgment against me, so I ended up paying for the guy's windshield. Fortunately, nothing else like other personal damages.
Well, hopefully insurance helped you with that.
Yeah, they did. Okay. Yeah, that covered me. But it was an old pickup truck. It looked like a collectible, and he probably couldn't find the right windshield at the right price, so he fixed it so he could get somebody else to pay for it.
That's it.
Camp out in the woods. That's one way to get it paid for. Thanks for the call, Russ. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Getting conned like that.
Yeah, that is an ultimate con job.
Yeah. Chris in Palatine. Morning, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Chris, hello. What's up, guys?
Just living the dream.
Living a dream. Awesome. No, I'll tell you a quick story. I got pegged by a golf ball. So I'm hanging with my buddy. We are 12 years old, both baseball players, but we always used to like mess with each other, right? Like, for example, we'd take bottle rockets and break the stick off and like throw them at each other and just kind of mess with each other.
Okay.
So we're walking.
Guys being dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just having fun. So we're walking into my neighborhood, and to get to my house, you had to walk by this field that was about 100 yards of just grass. And then you got houses and whatnot. So we got golf clubs. I got a 5-iron. He's got a 4-iron, and we put our balls down. I hit mine. I go out. I'm walking. I'm about 50 yards away, 75 yards away. He hits his ball. All of a sudden I hear four. And when I hear four and I'm hanging with this guy, that means something's coming at me. But I didn't move, and I'm just walking. All of a sudden, pegged me right in the right elbow, and it drops me. It was a line drive shot, and it drops me. Kind of like you playing video games, and it goes ragdoll. Like, I just dropped. Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Ooh. And then I got up, had a knot the size of a golf ball on my elbow for a good 3-4 days.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Thanks for the call, Chris. I'm glad you recovered off of that. The elbow.
Whenever no I watch, meat on the bone.
Yeah, whenever I watch baseball – and you see a guy, it's all these guys now have like the outer elbow guards, but sometimes there's a ball that'll sneak through and get you on your like inside elbow. And that it seems like the most painful place to get hit by a ball.
It really is. It almost feels like you just want to take a hacksaw and saw off your arm at right in the middle of the bicep.
Yeah.
Just get rid of the elbow.
That is the nightmare.
It totally is.
I believe Chris Bleck was hit by Adam Abdallah in the elbow, or it was like near the elbow. Maybe it was the forearm.
Oof.
But I know he caught a stinger because Abdallah was playing and he just caught one off the toe of his club, and Bleck was standing a little bit ahead of him, I think. And it was like a pretty like parallel shot to where he was set up. And he caught one from his own buddy there playing a couple years ago.
Well, you know, often when you go to the driving range, it's fun to try to like hit the tractor when it's out there, right? When I reported to Kiowa to manage the 1991 Ryder Cup, it was like my second day on the island, and they have four golf courses on the island, and the Gary Player course was right near where I live. So I went over there to hit range balls. And there was a guy in a golf cart with a screen on the front, you know, picking up the range balls, and he was driving right at us. And the guy next to me is smoking tee shots. Mm-hmm. And this guy's coming right at him, and he still continues to hit the driver. And he's not stopping. He just continues. And now this guy's getting pretty close. And he comes off of one a little thin, and so it doesn't get elevated. And it blew right through the cage. Hit him in the eye, and he lost his eyeball.
Oh, geez.
And I mean to tell you, you talk about something freak. So when you're trying to hit that thing, try to hit it with like a lob wedge, not a driver.
Right. Jeez, man. All right, Mark's in Elk Grove. Morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning.
What's going on?
Hey, Mark.
I'm not shutting the Randall Oaks right now, but so that was at least 15 years ago. I know my buddy Joe, and he brought a friend out, big stocky Irish guy. He was about 120 yards in front of me. I saw him duck down. I'm about to hit. So he ducked behind some thick bushes. And I hit a low screaming four iron right through the bushes. Hit him in the collarbone. And he was bleeding when I got up there.
Oh, jeez.
So when I got up there, I stayed away from him a little bit. Because I probably could, you know, kick my my butt or ass. Can we say ass?
Yeah, go ahead. You just did.
You just did.
And I was getting ready to get on my horse. But yeah, he was bleeding all over. Took his shirt off. Played the last three or four holes out. Put no shirt on.
He's like Tarzan.
Yeah.
He's like Tarzan.
Yeah. It was crazy, but luckily he wasn't pissed off at me.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it. And that's Mark in Elk Grove. So yeah, seems like some people have had some pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it happens more often than you think.
Yeah, yeah. But hopefully nobody out there encounters any of that today. All right, when we come back, we'll give you a little bit of a update what's going on around the professional golf world too. We've got the Women's U.S. Open, we've got the Memorial going on, and who is playing, who's playing well, and who's not playing too is pretty significant, especially at the Memorial. So all that and more coming up next. It's the CDGA Golf Show, and this segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Ockey and Mike Gilligan here with you every single Saturday talking all things golf as take a look at what's happening in the professional ranks. And we're currently just got out of the suspended second round. They have finished at the Women's U.S. Open. Mao Saigo at 8-under is your leader. Nelly Korda currently in a tie for second with six other golfers. So Nelly's playing well.
She had a great round yesterday.
Fantastic. 67 yesterday after a 72 out at Erin Hills. So I'm sure plenty of people who are listening right now are either up there, maybe going up there today or tomorrow. But yeah, they will be getting on the course shortly and start the third round. But the cut line there, one over is your cut line. So
yeah, it's if you've ever played Erin Hills, this is a great opportunity for these ladies to really test their game on what I consider a very big boy golf course. This is not for the faint of heart. So these ladies are doing a fantastic job navigating their game around. And it's great to see Nelly back on top of that leaderboard again, because, you know, she was rewriting record books last year and has kind of had a challenging start to this year, or not the Nelly Korda that we've come to get used to seeing. But she had seven birdies yesterday. And if you make seven birdies at Erin Hills, pretty strong.
Last year there was that stretch for like a month where it was like the worst finish that the combination of Scotty and Nelly Korda had was like third.
Yeah.
For like a month. It was like those were clearly the two best in their sport.
Oh, by a large, large margin, too. So, but yeah, it's great to see her back. And, you know, even Sarah Schmetzel, is tied for second there, too, another American player. So it's good to see our United States women showing well at our nation's Open.
Yep, up at Erin Hills. On the men's side of things, the Memorial taking place out of Jack's Place this week, and Nick Taylor, Ben Griffin, your co-leaders right now at 7-under. This on the heels of Ben Griffin winning last week, and he has all of a sudden like really vaulted his way up. And if he takes this, he'll be third in FedEx Cup points.
Yeah,
and you talk about a guy who will probably pretty much lock up a Ryder Cup spot potentially.
Yeah, because he's 13th right now. If he turns around and wins this thing, he's going to jet right up, if not an automatic entry, because I could see him over time taking over Bryson DeChambeau's position there because of the inability to get points. I mean, unless Bryson does well at the Open and the Nat or the
U.S.
Open and the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an interesting go.
Yeah, but that's a incredible story for him. I mean, a guy last week plays very well at the Schwab, holds off Matty Schmidt, and it got interesting there. It looked like he was going to kind of cruise his way down the finishing stretch at the Schwab, and then all of a sudden things get a little dicey on 18, and he needs to sink a putt to avoid a playoff, and he does.
Yeah, and I mean, when that happened, I mean, that four-footer just all of a sudden started to look more like 6 to 8 when he, because, I mean, that's got to be a bizarre feeling. You know, all I got to do, because this guy isn't going to chip in, is he? Oh, my God, he really
all
did.
All of a sudden.
So now I really have to make this. I can't just lag this four-footer, but he made it, and that's great. And, you know, Ben Griffin is a guy we could be seeing transforming right in front of our eyes as to one of the elite players. I mean, because just like you said, if he wins, he goes to number 3 in the FedEx Cup. The
only he's five right now, too. Like,
so the only two guys ahead of him are Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler, if you've ever heard
company.
Of those two.
Yeah.
But this is a guy, ladies and gentlemen, who last year played in 35 of 36 tour events. You talk about being the Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken of the PGA Tour. That is not an easy thing to do mentally, physically, and let alone manage a golf game for that many weeks and rounds. I mean, that is just tremendous amount of golf being played there. But this is also a guy that was basically dead broke. I mean, he grew up, was born in Chapel Hill, went to, you know, North Carolina and excelled as a collegiate player, tries to make it on the tour, and he decided to pack it in 2021 and went into the banking business and was a loan officer. It only took him a little while to do that before he said, you know what, I think I like that golf thing better. So he goes back out, you know, earns his way through the Korn Ferry Tour. He has a few breakout events. Next thing you know, he's on the tour, and now the guy's like made $7 million or more dollars after being almost dead broke just a few years ago. Yeah. So it is quite the success story and somebody to keep your eye on because he could be transforming himself right in front of us. This maybe isn't a fluke, but I loved what he said in the media center. He is just on a heater. His confidence is just at an all-time high. He's never been in such a great place mentally. So he's just going to ride the wave out, and he should. And I would play every week if you can feel like this and not stop.
Right. I mean, especially with these elevated events too, the payouts that you can get there, and you're doing it against this competition. Like, he held off Scottie Scheffler last week. He might do it again this week.
I know. And here's the other thing. If you've never played Memorial, it is among the very toughest that they play on a regular basis. It is almost a U.S. Open course this week. The rough is what I call juicy.
Yeah.
It is so thick and so robust. And last night, Pittsburgh got drilled by more rain. They have had nothing but rain during that setup for the U.S. Open. I can only imagine what that rough's going to be like. If what we're seeing is somewhat docile in Columbus, Ohio, what you're going to see in Pittsburgh for the U.S. Open could absolutely make you shake your head. It's going to be all up to the USGA to see how truly difficult and how close to par they really want to make this without making it a massacre.
Yeah. The rest of your leaderboard. So Ben Griffin, co-leader right now with Nick Taylor at 7 under. They're 2 strokes ahead of Akshay Bhatia. Scottie Scheffler in 4th, 3 back of the lead. And then a good cluster tied for 5th right now. Sam Burns, Shane Lowry, and Jordan Spieth, who's trying to bounce back after a rough week at the PGA Championship. But Jordan Spieth, good to see him back and playing well. And then another good chunk tied for 8th, including Russell Henley, Xander Schauffele, and Colin Morikawa. So it's been a pretty good leaderboard. Like, your co-leaders right now, maybe not the most well-known guys in Nick Taylor and Ben Griffin, even though they've both won on the tour before, but the guys right on their heels could make for a very entertaining Saturday and Sunday out at Jack's place.
They could. And you know something? Scotty is just chugging along, 70. And guess what? He made up 3 shots yesterday. And you can hear him in your rearview mirror now, and you can see him. I just think he's just going to keep on chugging. And unless these guys are going to have to win this.
Yeah.
This is not going to be handed to them. Whoever wins this went out and won it because, well, Scotty's not going
to
fold.
I think back to last week, too, at the Schwab at Colonial. And, like, Scotty did not play well the first 2 days. And then turned it on Saturday.
Oh, yes, he did.
And put himself right into the mix. But if he didn't play poorly the first 2 days, especially on Friday, he probably wins last week.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had that bad round yet. He's just been steady at two under each day. And, like, I saw this, too. Like, these were his missed birdie putts on the front yesterday. Under 5 feet, 8 foot three, 9'2", 12'11", and he still cards a bogey-free front nine yesterday.
That's just amazing.
On those, with those missed putts, like, he turns half of those into birdies, and this thing's probably wrapped up today.
100%. And I think he's the only guy on tour that can actually have such superior iron play that it makes up for his poor putting. Mm-hmm. Because it's just amazing. He's the only guy that really can do that. And most players have had the putting stats that he has aren't anywhere near the top 10. He constantly finds himself near the top of the leaderboard, even when he's not playing anywhere close to his best golf. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him have another solid round today, go low, win the thing tomorrow, and walk right into the U.S. Open and do the same thing at Oakmont.
I want to throw something your way, too, off of that as well, as why it could stand in the way of him winning a career slam. I want to address that with you in 2 minutes. So we'll do that when we come back. This segment's been brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.